It's a beautiful Sunday morning that we have to gather together to worship our Lord and Savior and our Almighty God. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one. I'd like to focus our attention upon the subject this morning of God's will before my will. And I'd like to use as an illustration of this point a lesson that we learned from the life of Jesus and found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, it happened that as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Now we can understand Martha's concern here, can't we? Here Jesus has come into her home, and of course it's not just Jesus. There's an entourage, I guess you might say, of apostles and other disciples who are following Jesus everywhere he goes. Homes were not very large in the first century. A modest home in our society would be considered a mansion in that culture. So we're talking about maybe just a couple of rooms, and yet several people have crowded in. And as a good hostess, she's trying to prepare things for people and that sort of thing. And we can understand the concern that Martha had. I can't do this all alone. I need some help. And here's my sister over here. She's sitting here listening to Jesus talk and teach. One point that we need to bring out here that Jesus brought out. One thing is needed. One thing is needed. You know, it's good to be hospitable. It's good to open your home to others. It's good to... All of these things were good. Everything happening here was good. But one thing is needed. Sometimes we need to stop and pause, and as we get concerned with the cares of life, so many things that we want to keep up with and so many things that we're interested in, it's important that we always keep in mind that one thing is needed, and we always prioritize that one thing. That one thing is truth. Truth. First and foremost, above all other things. Jesus emphasized this in John chapter 3 and verse 21. He said, "He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." He's not a good person just because he says he's a good person. He's allowed the Word of God to try and test his life. He's conformed himself to the truth of God's Word. He comes to the truth of God's Word for confirmation of what is right and what is true, and he wants to conduct himself in that which he finds in the Word of God. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes unto me." We know that faith comes by hearing. We need to be careful what you hear. We need to be sure that the faith that we are practicing is a faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And so everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes unto me. Be careful what you hear, Jesus would say. Be careful that you're hearing the words of God and not just the thoughts of men. John 8, verses 31 and 32 is a passage we bring up quite often. And it contains, of course, in the last phrase of verse 32 contains a phrase that we're very familiar with that many times is taken out of context, but it's so good to put it back in context. The truth shall make you free. Absolutely true. The truth shall make you free. But remember, Pilate asked, what is truth? Philosophers today ask that same question. What is truth? We have a society today that talks about my truth and your truth and her truth and his truth, and everybody's got their own truth. What is truth? The truth will make you free. Is truth subjective or is it objective? Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him. He's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to believers now. And he says to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, or you are my true disciples. You know, you can be a true disciple or a false disciple. You can claim to be a disciple, but if you're not abiding in the word of God, you're not a learner of Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. Well, you're not a true disciple unless you're learning from the master. If you're learning from Jesus, the master teacher, the word of God made flesh. If you continued in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In John 8 and verse 45, Jesus said, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. They had their own opinion of what they thought was right and wrong. People were rejecting the truth. People reject the truth today, too. People reject what I'm clearly presenting to you here from God's word. I don't want to hear that. Well, you might not want to hear it, but that's not going to change the nature of the truth. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Doug, why would you say that the one thing that is needed is the truth? Because it really comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? I am the truth. I am the truth incarnate, Jesus was saying. I am the truth in the flesh. But his word, spoken and written, is the truth revealed to us today. In John 17 and 17, you remember Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified to his heavenly Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In verse 19, he says that we are again sanctified by the truth. John 18 and verse 37, Pilate said, are you a king then? And Jesus said, you rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus bore witness of the truth. Those who believe what he says, trust what he says, act upon what he says, are those who are of the truth. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, plainly told that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes, faith comes by hearing the word of God, but hearing the word of God alone is not faith. Faith is not faith until it trusts and obeys the Word of God. Faith is not faith until it acknowledges that God indeed is the creator of all that we stand in awe of. That He is the giver of physical and spiritual life. that indeed he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him by continuing faithfully in his word of truth and practicing it continually in their lives. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, it says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." It's not just another doctrine. It's the practice of an evil deed if you believe it and trust it and obey it. Abide in the doctrine of Christ and have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. It's the only way that we can have fellowship with them. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said it this way, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." It's the same thing as what John would reflect on here, as we notice in 2 John verses 9 through 11. Being in fellowship with God is dependent upon us knowing and practicing the truth of his word, the doctrine of Christ. In John 4, verses 22 and 23, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "You worship what you do not know." Isn't it sad that there are so many people who worship what they do not know? They assume they know. They assume they're right, but they never test it against the word of God's truth. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. One cannot be a true worshiper unless they are worshiping in accordance to the truth of God's revealed word. We recognize that. It's important that we place his will above our will. How am I going to worship God? How do I want to worship God? What do I think would be a good way to worship God? Should never think that. Should never let that thought even come into our mind. What appeals to me in worship to God? No. God has revealed how he expects to be worshipped in his word of truth. And as in all things, we are to revere him and keep his commandments. Without a love for God, sanctifying truth, we will not come to the light, as we noticed in John 3:21. Without a love for God, sanctifying truth, we will not come to Christ, as we notice in John 6 and 14 and 18. Without a love for God's sanctifying truth, we will not be his true disciples. We will not know his truth. We will not be free. Without a love for God's sanctifying word of truth, we will not come to God. We will not worship God in truth. And our spirit will not be in alignment with him. As we place God's will before our will, we are taught by Jesus himself to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33. One thing is needed. This is a good way to sum up that one thing that is needed. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the way into the kingdom and a knowledge of righteousness comes through the truth of God's word. In Matthew 13 and verses 37 through 43, Jesus, in explaining the parable of the tares, said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. Why is there evil in the world? Why doesn't God just take the evil people away from the earth? That's not the way it works. You see, the questions that are being asked today of God were asked in the days that Jesus walked the face of the earth. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He will not destroy the tares before the time. He hopes to convert the tares. Only God can change a tare into wheat. And he does that by the power of his word of truth. And he does it through his vessels of clay who bear that message of love and truth and salvation. The good seeds, the sons of the kingdom. God's will is to be practiced before my own carnal will, my own selfish will. My will needs to be brought into alignment with his will in all things. In Matthew 22 and verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Is this the one thing that is needed? Well, yeah, it's an attitude. That's certainly right. That I am to be wholly and completely dedicated to pursuing a knowledge of truth as revealed in the Word of God, and in practicing that in my life. I can't say that I love God just simply because I know His Word. Actions speak louder than words, don't they? Somebody said, what you're doing is speaking louder than what you're saying, and that's true. We demonstrate in our life whether we believe what we say or not by what we're doing in our life. In Luke 22 and verse 42, we read, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." As Jesus was contemplating the crucifixion that he was about to go through, if it's possible, well, it wasn't possible. It's not possible to save mankind without this sacrifice being made. Jesus realized that. And in this moment, he resolved himself completely. Not my will, as I'm afraid right now, as I'm concerned right now, as I'm anticipating the terrible things that are going to be done to me, not my will, but yours be done. Grant me the courage and the strength to carry this mission out. But how often do we find ourselves in need of praying this same prayer? In your time of temptation, in your time of doubt, in your time of concern, in your time that it seems like things are going completely wrong in your life, and there's a carnal way to handle that problem, and there's God's way to handle that problem, may we always pray, not my will, but yours be done. When someone is acting as an enemy, that's when we need to be acting as a peacemaker. When someone wants our destruction, that's when we want their salvation. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. Saul of Tarsus doesn't live here any longer. What Saul wants isn't here anymore. Christ lives in me. I live so that Christ might live in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I hear Him, I trust Him, I obey Him. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Seems only right that I should give myself completely and entirely to Him. Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things of the flesh that you wish. We recognize this, don't we? We have this conflict, this war going on all the time. A choice needs to be made. Am I going to do my will, or am I going to do God's will? God's will before my will. Romans 6 and verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves unto God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Do not present yourselves instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. How? How will you not ever present your member as an instrument of unrighteousness? God's will before my will. One thing is needful at all times. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. You put to death that man of sin. You rose to walk in newness of life. Now act like it. Make the right choice. Do the right thing. Practice the righteousness of God at all times in your life. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2, very familiar passage to us. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we transformed? Goes right back to our first point, doesn't it? The Word of God's truth. We hear it, we believe it, we trust it, we practice it. And we practice that which is acceptable and perfect before God. In Colossians chapter 3, in the first four verses, we read, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Were you? Were you raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life with Him? All right. Then walk with Him, hand in hand with Him. Where He goes, that's where you're going to go. Where He leads, that's where you will follow. Set your mind on things above. Do not set your mind on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Set your mind on things above. It's so easy to get distracted here in this life, isn't it? To set our mind on our hobbies, to set our mind on the news of the day and the troubles and tribulations of life that sin brings to individuals and to society in general. It's easy for us to get distracted with that, but he says, set your mind on things above. the way to overcome all of these trials and tribulations that we see in society today, the answer to all of it is Jesus Christ. And it's not going to happen all at once. It's going to happen one person at a time. And it needs to happen first and foremost in each and every one of us. Set your mind on things above. You died. Your carnal man died. You put him to death. And all of those sins are hidden in Christ. Now you walk in newness of life with him. As we put God's will before our own will, we recognize that we put others before self. First and foremost, we put God before self. In Matthew 22 and verse 39, you know, we notice the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is like to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're not just self-focused, you're others-focused. Focused on God and focused on your neighbors. In Matthew 5 and verses 43 through 48, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Well, it's hard enough to love our neighbor. Yeah, okay. Love people that hate us? Yes. Love people who hate other people? Yes. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do you have anybody who hates you right now? Do you have anybody who's not doing good to you right now? Do you have anyone who is spitefully using you or persecuting you right now? Love them. Pray for them. Don't act towards them the way they are acting towards you. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Both the sun and the rain are blessings here. You understand that. I know sometimes you listen to your weather forecasters and they'll say, well, it's going to rain tomorrow, like that's a bad thing. No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we realize that in times when there aren't any rain, isn't any rain. God sends his general blessings on those who are good and on those who are evil. On his friends and on his enemies. For if you love those who just love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The carnally minded love those who love them. So if you just love those who love you, you're not doing anything more than carnally minded people do. Non-Christians do. Non-believers do. Love your enemies. There's a challenge for you. God's will before my will. Do you find yourself resisting this one? Love your enemies? I don't want to love my enemies. You better. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. When we consider God's will before my will, we need to consider that God said there's only one way to Him. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. We must believe on Him. We must believe in Him. We must trust Him and obey Him. If you do not believe, you will die in your sins and be separated from God for all eternity. From every good and perfect thing, you will be separated from it. From light, from peace, from comfort, you'll be separated from it. Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn from your sin and turn to truth, righteousness, and godliness, you will perish. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Well, I just don't know if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you better find out whether you believe in it. You better honestly and carefully weigh the evidence. Because He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. There are people who say, well, I don't think you need to be baptized to be saved. They don't believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Ananias told Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Peter wrote, the like figure whereunto baptism does now save us. Baptism alone? No. But baptism followed by believing, trusting, turning to God, and continuing with Him. Jesus said, if we abide in His Word, we are His true disciples. That once we have obeyed Him in baptism, we need to continue to live in His Word of truth. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we realize that these works are not our works. They're His works that are revealed in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let your light so shine before men. Be doing the good works. He didn't say, know the good works. He said, do the good works. Let your light shine, that people might see them and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember our story that we began with of Martha and Mary? One thing is needed. Mary had chosen the good part. Can we put your name in there? Have you chosen the good part? Do you live in the standard of God's revealed truth? Mary was wanting to know that standard. She was wanting to hear more of it. Not just to hear it, but to know it and trust it and obey it. Are you ready to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are you of the mind that I'm going to do God's will before my will, and in my moments of temptation, I'm going to do what God would have me to do rather than what I might want to do? Are you ready to put others before self? To love your neighbor and to love your enemy? Even when it's difficult for you, to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. One thing is needed. This is that one thing. It's a big one thing. It's a major one thing. It is a life change. Have you chosen the good part? we encourage you to do so. You're subject to the invitation. Please come as we stand and sing this song.